What's up, AFCM family? My name is John Michael Clark, and I'm thankful to be able to share the word with you this week. I pray that God is blessing you with visions and plans and hope, lots of hope for 2021. As we go into the word, let's pray, and we're going to dive right in. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you have called us to be a part of your church. God, no matter what our role, no matter what our precise calling, it is a joyful one that you call us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, you've given us a mission. Apart from any particular ministry, you have called us to make disciples for your love and for your glory. And we ask that you would equip us continually, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, and renew our minds with your word so that we would follow you closely and accomplish all the good things you've called us to do. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look in 1 Timothy. We're going to talk about the qualifications of a minister. You're very familiar with these, I'm sure. But in particular, we're going to look at the calling to manage our own household well. So this is a lesson learned the hard way for me. I know I look like I'm 17 years old, but I'm actually 18 years old. So I have a lot of wisdom. I'm just kidding. Kidding about both of those. I'm not 18. And I have a long way to go and a long way to grow when it comes to gaining wisdom. But I have learned a little bit the hard way. And that is the lesson of putting the ministry before family. So there's the temptation when we're in the ministry. And this is what I had. Maybe you haven't. I hope that you've walked free from this and soared above it. But where I failed was I prioritized the ministry in preaching, in teaching, in discipling, and thinking that those were the things that really, really mattered. And if I just take care of the ministry, then God will take care of my family. God will take care of my marriage. God will take care of my three little boys. But that's foolishness, and that's not true. And I learned that the hard way. So it was a big ministry event that was about to happen when my wife pulled me aside, sobbing in tears. She was burned out, she was fried, and she could not even take another step forward. Yeah, like I told you, long way to go and a long way to grow. So this was 7 years, 8 years ago, maybe, when this took place. And so that's what we call in the real world a little bit of a red flag. So thankfully, by the grace of God, we were able to heal and recover. It was challenging. There was some burnout. There was some depression. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. It's a wicked thing from the pit of hell, but by the grace of God, we came out of all that and thankfully made the changes. We call that repentance, right? It was going one direction and turned and went in another. But it's easy in ministry to get caught up in that. When you're the hero, who's going to call you out? Who's going to call you out? You're the head of the ministry. I don't know what ministry you may be the head of, but if you're the head of it, a lot of times we're the hero to folks. So who's going to stop us? As far as they know, we're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing, right? They don't recognize that John Michael's ego got in the way. They don't recognize that John Michael is living for the applause of others. They don't recognize that John Michael's really focused on building his own kingdom instead of God's kingdom. So it's interesting. I can always justify it when I'm doing it for the ministry. But the truth is, God has called me to a ministry that comes before that public ministry, a ministry that comes before that fivefold role that we all hold so high. Well, should we hold it high? I think so. I think it's a special thing. But ultimately, there's something that we first have to qualify for that ministry. So here we are in 1 Timothy chapter 3. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer or pastor or bishop, in this case in particular, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled. Each of these, let's write them down. Put these in your journal and ask the Lord to search you if you dare. Self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. And here we go. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. So back to that portion about managing his own household. If someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Jesus taught us this, guys, and we know that, guys and girls. And we know that if I'm not faithful with little, which I don't consider my family, and I know you don't either, we don't consider our family a little thing, do we? But at the same time, God wants to say, if we're not leading here well, why would we lead anywhere else? Well, I'm focused on that. Well, really, how are we doing as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother? Maybe your kids are grown, but you still have a family. You still have a marriage. And these things still matter to God. A lot of times, and in my burnt time of burnout, and when I burned my wife out, if you looked at my bookshelf, it was full of things on the ministry. I'm not belittling the ministry, guys, but I do want to recognize that we can make an idol out of something that is not... Obviously, we're only supposed to worship Christ, so we have to be so guarded, and we have to make sure that we have wise counsel and elders in our lives who still speak into us, who can still see through and not just pat us on the back for all the things ministry, because I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my family. So these, again, are lessons that you've probably already learned, and I'm sure you've got a lot of wisdom that you could share with the AFCM family and with me as well, I would hope. But as I continued to look around my life, I saw that my bookshelf was filled with the ministry. My podcast feed was filled with growing in the ministry, or as a pastor, or as a preacher, or just something in the ministry, and some personal development there as well. But my reading was not consumed with being the husband that Christ has called me to be, or the father that Christ has called me to be. So thankfully, God reeled me in and rearranged a lot of those things so that I could make sure that I'm even qualified for the ministry, because it is a high calling. And it is something that's special. It is something that matters. So I would encourage you to do the same thing. Here we are at the beginning of 2021. And, you know, a lot of us are thinking about the ministry, the vision. This is what God has called us to for this year. Well, what has God called your family to? What's your family vision this year? Could your spouse tell me what that is? Could your kids tell you what that is? We often focus on the church, and that's important. But we should put first things first. A lot of my favorite dead preachers, they could preach the roof off. They preached the fire. They brought the word. But if you read some biographies, some of these people, you don't want to follow their example at home. Tragic, tragic stories sometimes. Well, look what they did for the Lord. God's looking at everything. He looks at the hidden things that nobody else looks at. That's a scary thought. So it's easy for me to judge myself and like, man, I can preach that fire, baby. And God's going, yeah, well, how'd you treat Natalie? Did you disciple Elijah Fain and Brock William and Hudson James the way that I called you to? Because those things matter to God. These aren't small things. So this may be Captain Obvious speaking to you today. And if so, I'm sorry to waste your time if you've already learned all these lessons. But like I said, these were lessons I learned the hard way, unfortunately. So if any of this is a tweak for you or an adjustment, or the Holy Spirit would speak to you about any of this in your own heart, I would just encourage you to embrace whatever He has for you. He's got something good for you and for your family so that you can put first things first and so that you can be qualified for the ministry that does matter and put in its proper place and its proper role, ultimately to make sure that our identity is not coming from the ministry. Our identity cannot come from what we accomplish in the ministry. Our identity can't come from who we are at home as well. Our identity comes from being a child of God. That's the only thing in life that cannot be taken away from us. Your spouse, they could leave you. The ministry, they could kick you out. You know, something could happen. Everything in life could be taken from us. By the grace of God, it won't be, but it could, except for Christ. You are His. You are dearly loved by Him. So ultimately, He is our pleasure, He is our reward, He is our pursuit, He is our mission. Everything else is icing on the cake. But let's make sure we prioritize things the way that we've been called to in the Word of God, and He is going to bring the good results from it. We'll be faithful with little, we'll be faithful with much, He'll pour on the blessing, and we'll continue to give Him glory for it. I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that He would make His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you, that He would lift up His countenance upon you and give you great peace. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that their family life would be blessed, that it would be rich, that it would be profound, not just for them, but also for the folks that they lead, for the ministry that they lead, that their marriage would be an example, that they wouldn't just have another marriage, but that it would be an example in every way for the people that they care for, that their parenting would be an example in every way, and that their family culture would also be an example, so that they wouldn't just have their ducks in a row for themselves, but that it would also then bless those that they care so deeply for. God, we thank you that you have tied all these things together well, and ultimately you have a good plan to bless and to bring us thriving marriages, thriving family cultures, and thriving ministries. We thank you for it. We dedicate this moment and all that come after it to you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, AFC and family. I love you. I'm thankful for you. If we're not Facebook buddies, reach out. Let's connect. Happy New Year.